for AntiWar.com and Chaos Radio 95.9 in Austin, Texas. I'm Scott Horton. This is AntiWar Radio.
Up next, we've got Tracy Harmon from the Ladies of Liberty Alliance going to talk about her recent trip to Iraq. All right, in the name of full disclosure, Tracy is not only a personal friend of mine, but I am I have to now say this, president of the board of directors for the Ladies of Liberty Alliance, but I have no editorial control. The ladies are doing it themselves. All right, Tracy, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, well, welcome back to the U.S., young lady.
Oh, it feels so nice to be back.
Well, you know, Scott so enjoyed the interview with you, but it was such a struggle because of the sound quality. So we're going to probably catch the listeners up a little bit. First off, you're a vet, and I want to talk a little bit about your experience, you know, how it is you got in the military and why what you're doing. All right. Give us a little bit of bio here.
Okay. So I joined the military when I was 18. I've always been quite a hellion. I wanted something to do. I mean, the college benefits, the GI Bill was definitely a major perk, but I wanted to see if I could do it. It was a bit of patriotism and, you know, just I had a GI Jane complex. So just the challenge of, you know, being a female and getting through the training and the professionalism. So I really, and I did surprisingly well in military culture. I was promoted to E5 sergeant when I was 21 years old, and I took charge of my section. I was in a combat engineering unit stationed in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was in the Army Reserves, and I also went to Bible College. So I was, you know, stationed in Knoxville, Tennessee, getting my undergrad, my BA in theology and Bible, biblical studies. And so it was really interesting. I was studying God and war simultaneously. And at some point, you know, those began to conflict. But like I said, I did really well with the military. Getting promoted very quickly, but it just began to conflict. I definitely wanted to deploy to Iraq, you know, because I felt at one point that we were doing good. That I've always been a humanitarian. I've done a lot of traveling ever since before I joined the military, and I really wanted the cultural experience. I wanted the opportunity to go to Iraq or Afghanistan. You know, there were a couple of really close calls where my unit almost got deployed, and I was excited. I'm like, you know what? I'm a young, single female. I don't have any family. I don't have any attachments. I'm ready to go. So that's a big part of it, me wanting to go to Iraq. And then I guess I was able to do my internship. And this is kind of strange that I was actually able to do this. I never got a security clearance with the military because I had traveled to so many sketchy places as a civilian. I'd been to Pakistan. I did my internship. I actually worked in a Sudanese refugee village in Cairo, Egypt, and I lived with a Muslim family. So I really, and I was studying Arabic, I really got to take in, this is for 3 months, but I got to take in the culture and see that, wow, you know, these are people of peace, they're nonviolent. And we have people that call themselves Christians back here in the States that, are, you know, you see the church, the Christian flag and the American flag waving next to each other. And, you know, we just have this patriotism and combined with this religious patriotism, and it just didn't make sense. You know, I kind of thought, well, everybody is killing and they're stamping God's name on it, and I don't want to be a part of that. So I got to a point where even my commander, he had approached me on 2 occasions. He said, you know what, you should really, you have a BA in theology, you should get a direct commission and become a chaplain, you know, on 2 occasions. So they were definitely gunning for me to keep advancing with my military career because I did so well with it. And I just said, you know what, I can't be the one that prays people into battle, that prays over innocent lives that are being taken. It's just a part of the cost of war. So I filed for, and I hadn't deployed to Iraq. I was looking, it was actually when I was looking into deploying, I was all signed up to go to a civil affairs school because I wanted to change my MOS. You know, I said, if I'm going to go, I want to be with the people. I want to be learning about the people. So I was looking into civil affairs. And I just, you know, got to a point where I realized it was actually at a weapons qualification. We had that twice a year, you know, and I was out shooting, and I began to see, you know, as I was pointing my rifle at target down the firing lane, I began to see people, you know, the paper targets, You know, there's all this brainwashing. It is brainwashing. It's desensitization. It's what they do to you. They try to make you, it's not a person. And even, I remember the drill sergeants would scream at basic training, "We're training you to kill these cowheads." You know, I'm like, these are people, but okay. And then that's the enemy. So the paper target, began to look like a person. And I just realized, so I filed for CO status. That's conscientious objector status. And, the summer of 2007, and it took a year and a half. It is a very long and difficult process. It took a year and a half to get honorably discharged and recognized from the military as a conscientious objector to war.
Tracy.
So, yes.
There's so much here, and you've got such an, I mean, for such a young woman, you've had such an amazing resume and life experience. By the way, I'm on the phone with Tracy Harmon from the Ladies of Liberty Alliance and Iraq Veterans Against the War. And she recently, was just returned from a peace mission in Iraq. And she's telling us about it. She's an amazing background. And you'd always been a woman of faith.
Yes.
Okay. So the religion had played a role, you know, prior to your enlistment.
Yes, and I didn't grow up in a Christian family. It's just something I just kind of chose on my own. And I got really involved in the church, and that's why I wanted to study more about. I wanted to study more about the Bible, and I saw myself really going into some kind of ministry, and that was kind of a part of joining the military. Is I even had a pastor at my church had told me, well, you know, you get this military training and that structure and discipline, and that's going to upset you for a career in the church, which is, that's what I was talking about earlier with that, you know, the patriotism and when you combine religion and the military, and it makes no sense. It makes no sense in my mind when I feel that Jesus teaches this message of peace and nonviolence and to love our enemies. So I did file for CO status on, though you don't, big disclaimer here, you don't have to be any kind of religious background, you don't have to have a religious background, you don't have to file as a Christian, as a Muslim, as a Hindu, it can just be on any moral ground that you refuse to take life, But I just so happened to file mine on religious grounds.
Ask the, let's fast forward a little bit to when we met, and it was actually at Liberty Forum in a few years back. And so what brought you to libertarianism?
Oh man, it just made sense. I kind of had, you know, from the religious background, it was very more of a political conservative family that I come from, not religious, but so I've always kind of had that, especially going to school in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you know, I've got family in Kentucky, and I just kind of come from that religious right conservative background. So I needed to rebel. So when I moved out to Hawaii, I lived in Hawaii for a year and I worked in HIV prevention. That's another part of my background. I was a counselor tester for HIV. So I was the one that was actually putting people on food stamps and welfare and, very, very supportive of these social programs. So I consider I voted for Obama. I admit it there. especially living out in Hawaii at the time. So I don't know. I just coming over to, you know, after I left Hawaii, I got more involved with the anti-war movement and Iraq Veterans Against the War. I got really involved with them. And, actually, Adam Kokesh, who's running for a congressional seat, and I want to give a shout out to him. He's the one that, you know, kind of introduced me at first to this whole libertarian philosophy and Ron Paul and the movement. And I just thought, you know what, I don't like politics. I don't want anything to do with politics. I'm anti-war, but this libertarian philosophy and the principle of non-aggression and, our intervention foreign policies in the Middle East and what Ron Paul's talking about, it just made sense. So I've been a follower and a believer ever since.
Well, that's excellent. So, 7 months back, you had come up with the idea that you really, I mean, and of course you've established how much, you know, you're very much a citizen of the world. You know, you love to travel, and you feel kinship with people from everywhere. But you went on with an NGO on a peace mission recently, and I want you to tell the audience about it.
Okay. So I went with an NGO, and I'm so sorry, I cannot give you more information about them. It's just that they started out working in Baghdad, and they were documenting prisoner abuse, detainees, especially in Abu Ghraib. So they had started pointing that out, and just because of security issues, they had to move up to the north. There's not a whole bit, I mean, there are NGOs that are working in Baghdad and Mosul, but it's very risky and very dangerous. So their work is among the Kurds, in northern Iraq. And it's basically documenting all the human rights violations that happen against the Kurdish population. So on this trip, you know, it was really, I mean, the scenery, the places I've been, I never thought I'd be able to see in my lifetime. And it's amazing. We went on two separate trips. We drove up to the Turkey-Iraq border on the first trip. And then the second trip was the Iranian border. So the whole point being, you know, there's all this shelling that's going on. It's happening from Turkey, and apparently, you know, obviously the U.S. has involvement everywhere because we're building an empire. And what's happening is the U.S. is giving Turkey military, they're giving them intel reports about, they're targeting this terrorist group called the PKK. They're labeled terrorists in the same way that libertarians, and I don't know if we're familiar with the Mayak report, and I guess we're labeled somewhat, you know, terrorists if we stand up against, have to take a stand against the government. So anyway, so this group, that's what they say. Oh, well, that's why this bombing happens, because we're trying to get this terrorist group. But what ends up happening is they're bombing Kurdish villages. So this NGO has just been doing, for the past 2 years, they've been going from village to village, and they're just documenting human rights violations, you know, where it's either destruction of property, which their whole fields have just been destroyed. And what that results in is, you know, that's how they make a living with the farming community. And then nobody wants to go and live there because they don't want to work because they're terrified of the bombing. And, you know, the worst case scenario, there's even, we visited a village, I was looking into, Iran from how close we were. I mean, it was beautiful, but we had to walk through a field of, you know, we passed about 34 landmine signs, and I'm following a man with a villager. He was the Mukhtar of the village. It means the leader of the village. He has a prosthetic leg. He had lost his son to a landmine, and I had to trust this man. Who wants to follow a man with a prosthetic leg across a landmine field? So, I mean, it just really took this trip, but this is stuff that NGO workers experience on a daily basis. So just to get to these villages is it's challenging, and it's risky. But we went up there and to just meet with the villagers and, you know, document. It's just updating the report right now because they've pretty much made contact with every single village up along the border over the past 2 years. And, 2 hours after we left, they had a bombing. It was from, I guess there's a Turkish military base in Iran. So we think they're enemies, but people are working together here, and it's a big political issue. It's messy. But, two people were killed in this village 2 hours after we left. And I found that out as we're leaving, to go to the airport to leave Iraq. And that's just something that these people experience on a daily basis, but they still do it. The work is important. It's important to let people know back in the States and to put pressure on the right groups that, you know what, these people are, their daily life is being affected. Their lives are in danger because of this bombing that's going on. And nobody seems to, you know, the Kurdish, their population, they're oppressed by the Iraqis, they're oppressed by, for fear of, you know, because Turkey and Iran, they have a large population of Kurds, and if they have their own independence, then there's the fear that, well, other Kurdish populations will rise up and they'll want their own independence and they'll make their own country. So it's a political situation, but it's just really documenting the human rights violations.
In the just our final minutes, I just want to ask a few questions about what to you was the most surprising thing, like something that you had not expected about the Iraqi people?
I haven't experienced it as much as, because I never deployed as a soldier to Iraq, but there's such a desensitization that happens. And especially, I even got that from the religious right. I had a commander that would told me, oh, these people just need to be converted. They don't know Jesus, you know. And these are people that they just want peace. They just want to live in peace. That it's a right that every human being deserves. You know, and it's amazing. We have people here fighting for civil liberties and all these things, and they are people like everyone else. They just want their rights. They just want their freedom. They just want their villages to stop being bombed. So it's really to put a face to that. You know, to put. I mean, there's a face to everything. There's a humanitarian side to everything. So to just see that was heart wrenching. But it was really, especially as a soldier, to then go and see it. That's why, on this final minute, I would like to just encourage soldiers that if you're starting to question things out there, you know, go on, if you want to deploy, go on a peace mission. Can I encourage GI resistance here on anti-war?
Every day, Tracy, please.
Every day. Okay, I myself am a GI resistor, and, you know, you obviously joined for some reason. You want to serve this country, and if you want to serve this country, then we can't create more. We cannot create more enemies of the United States. We got to go and help people, and everybody wants their rights. Like, people in America want their rights, and Kurdistan want their rights. Iraqis want their rights. So,
Tracy, where can GIs who wish to resist get help?
There is the CCCO, the Center for Conscientious Objection. There's the GI Resistance Hotline. You can also go to IVAW.org, and they have a ton of information on GI resistance. IVAW, Iraq Veterans Against the War, is a nonprofit. It's an organization of vets, and they fully support veterans that are going through this process. They support GI resistors. So IVAW, GI Resistance, the CCCO, Center for Conscientious Objection.
Tracy, not only thank you for being with us today, but thank you for all you do for peace.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela.
All right. That's Tracy Harmon from Ladies of Liberty Alliance. You're going to be hearing a lot more about Tracy Harmon in the years to come if you're interested in peace activism and foreign policy. And you can find the site at iamlola.org. And she's also on the Iraq Veterans Against the War site as well.
Hey everybody, Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. Admit it, our public debate has been reduced to reading each other's bumper stickers. So stop by LibertyStickers.com. We got more than 1,000 anti-government, anti-war stickers for you to choose from, including the right is wrong, the left is stupid, Iraq, America's West Bank, detain Eric Holder, only liars and cowards want war with Iran, empire, welfare for the rich, war for the poor. I wish I could go back in time to murder Woodrow Wilson. Old right, new left, unite against empire. And steroids are good when cops take them. Fight back while you still can. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.